I am sure that many of us who come to church think of it primarily as some kind of an inn, a kind of spiritual resort where we do come to get away from it all, to try to find some kind of rest, refreshment, comfort for body and spirit. And we do not need to feel guilty about that at all. That is what the church should fulfill, and for this we should be grateful. There are indeed many facets, many sides of the mystery that we call church. But if we want to be in full harmony with what Jesus tells us and the New Testament writers, then we should also think of the church not only as an inn, but also as a kind of outpost. It means that Jesus is not calling us to register at an inn in order to be served, but Jesus calls us to enlist in his service at an outpost of God's peace initiative in this world. It is now during the Easter season, above all, that Jesus tells us in his holy word that the person who does have faith in me will do the works that I do. We continue in our lives the works of Jesus. You may remember just a few years ago there was a new book in the market entitled How to Be a Jewish Mother by Daniel Greenberg. One of the main points of that book is that to be a Jewish mother, you don't have to be Jewish, and you do not have to be a mother. Anyone, he tells us, can be a Jewish mother. It could be an Irish waitress, or an American businessman, a Canadian lawyer, or a church minister, perhaps especially. Being a Jewish mother is simply a technique, he tells us. It's simply a highly sophisticated way of planting guilt in other people. Now, planting guilt is one of the most effective ways of controlling the lives of other people. And the Jewish mother, he tells us, is simply a person who has become a real expert in that kind of technique. Now, I know that all of us here know at least one or two Jewish mothers in that sense. And it's also quite possible, since many of us are on in years, that we too have mastered perhaps more than one or two of those techniques ourselves. Now, in the book, the author gives advice to parents who want to become Jewish mothers. He says, all you've got to do is learn how to sigh a great deal. He says that's always going to become a winning formula for you. And even if the parent doesn't know what it is that the child has done wrong, all it means is just hearing the sigh. The child will begin to think of something that he may have done wrong and immediately begin to feel guilty. Dr. Cecil Osborne does then describe a case history of a bright, loving, popular girl called Katie, whose parents felt that she was perfect in every way, until on one awful night, she tried to end her life. The case history states that the mother was at a community center practicing for the production of a musical in which she had a part, when Katie phoned her from home and said, "Mother, come home. I've taken sleeping pills." Now, the crash of the telephone as it dropped. The mother rushed home and Katie was taken to the hospital. Mother and father sat at the bedside until Katie regained consciousness, and then they asked the agonizing questions, why? What went wrong? And when Katie awoke from sedated sleep, she whispered, "I sort of remember that I hated everything, everything. Us, Katie, mostly us? The father of Kitty asked her. No, she said, mostly me, as she went back to sleep again. Later on, however, the staff psychiatrist says to the parents that their daughter had become a very bewildered young woman who really had hated herself. But the mother insisted, she's really wonderful. The doctor said, you knew. She knew that you thought so. But while Katie was dutifully presenting herself as the ideal perfect daughter, in her heart she harbored this secret, seething self-contempt. She felt she had never measured up to what you expected of her. The guilt had been planted that deeply. Because the image she tried to sustain was really not a reflection of her real self, Katie eventually began to feel like a non-person, so dying really didn't matter at all. The story is a powerful reminder that love must always be unconditional. It must not be on the part of parents, we will love you when you are good and succeed, get good grades, have a clean room, look nice, reach the goals we set for you. The difficulty, the doctor said, is always that the child will need the parents' love most when the child is least lovable. The parent feels most frustrated and angry, and the hostility to the child is likely to erupt then, and sighs go on, and the guilt goes on, and there's no peace in the home. In so many cases, well-intentioned Christian parents will abandon the outpost and retreat to the inn, where they will try to sigh a great deal so that God then will feel guilty. Guilty enough to give back to the parents the security and the comfort they again so desperately need. Now, what happens on the level of home life also happens at all other levels of our lives. And that is why the church is to be an outpost, not just an inn for the refreshment of people. An outpost also as a model for the entire world to discover what the healing peace of God is really to be like. And that is what St. Paul was so conscious of when he said that it is because of Christ Jesus and the church in the world that the Jewish people and the Gentiles, who had been totally alienated from one another, were able to come together as one people. That is what Paul meant when he wrote to the Ephesians. You people were without hope, without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you people who were once far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. It is He who is now our peace and who made the two of us one by breaking down the barrier of hostility that has kept us apart. The Church of Christ should become a sign to the world, broken as it is, that all peoples of divergent backgrounds and interests are able to live together. If Jews and Gentiles can do it, then all can live at peace, be one. The Church of Christ is to be a sign to all the nations of the world that hostility of every kind can be broken down. The Church of Christ should be a sign to the nations that no power on this earth is able to pin God down to one side or the other side. God is present on all sides. the presence of God is universal. And the Church of Christ, wherever it is to witness to that reality. As Paul says again, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old order has passed away. Now all is new. That is a profound mystery. We all carry about within us the new life of the risen Lord. And Paul says, all this has been done by God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us that good news of reconciliation. This, he says, makes all of us ambassadors for Christ. That is the kind of good news of reconciliation that should resound from every outpost that we call church. The image of God's loving presence reflected in every faith community we call church outpost. As ambassadors, we go forth then from every outpost to bring that good healing news to others. What we said a moment ago about every child who needs the love of the parent, most of all, when that child is least lovable, it's then the parent is most frustrated, angry, hostile toward the child. So too, on every level of world peace. That is the insight Jesus gives us in his words when he said, love your enemies, pray for your persecutors. That will prove that you are children of the Father. The person who has faith will do the work that I do. The work of healing, reconciliation.
Let us pray. Enriched by our common celebration of God's Word, let us offer our prayer in confidence that the Church throughout the world may continue to welcome people to the gentle care of the Good Shepherd. We pray to the Lord. That the poor and suffering may take comfort in the Lord's words and experience justice through our efforts. We pray to the Lord. for all teachers in our church, that the Lord may give them strength and wisdom, we pray to the Lord. That the Lord may bless our mothers, both living and dead, we pray to the Lord. That our common sharing in the Lord's word and supper may renew our willingness to follow the risen one, we pray to the Lord. For all the intentions listed in our parish book of prayer intentions and for our own personal intentions here this evening. We pray to the Lord.
Gracious Father, you taught us to follow the voice of Jesus.